With me right now is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. And my goodness, John, we were able to avert a government shutdown Saturday night, but it still looks like the sky may be falling on Capitol Hill when we talk about the fighting with the GOP, threats with the House Speaker, and so on. Give us an update on what you're taking in and all this squabbling going on in the nation's capital.
Well, there's certainly no shortage of drama in Washington, D.C. right now. And we seem to be lurching from crisis to crisis. And as you pointed out, the most recent crisis was whether the government could be funded. And, you know, of course, there are a lot of things that people disagree with about the federal budget, but there's a huge number of things that the people agree on, you know, like national defense and national parks and Social Security and so forth. But because we have such polarization in the country and in Congress, it's become extremely difficult to do, you know, obvious things like pass a budget. And, you know, that's where we are in Washington right now. The deal that kept the government open only postponed the trouble for 45 days. And, you know, it's anybody's guess as to whether they'll be able to resolve things, you know, by the next deadline. We may have another cliffhanger. But, of course, the part of the problem is the revolt of the House conservatives in the Republican Party. And there will be a vote either today or tomorrow on the possibility of ousting the Speaker, Speaker McCarthy. In some ways, this goes back to January when he was elected Speaker. And everyone will remember, you know, that took many, many ballots. So, you know, there are just these unresolved differences. And it'll be interesting to see where the Democrats will stand on Speaker McCarthy. You know, many Democrats don't trust him. On the other hand, there are Democrats who think, well, he's the devil we know. And since the Speaker is going to be a Republican, maybe we should stick with the Speaker we're familiar with rather than maybe somebody else. So you stay tuned. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
John, does something like this have any fallout as we look at the big election year of 2024 that is on the horizon, as the citizens, as the voters are looking at where the GOP is right now and how they can't even manage their own house, let alone a country? Is there fallout? Do you anticipate anything?
Oh, we've already seen the fallout in polling. And, you know, it's not a new phenomenon. We've had problems with the budget, passing the budget for a number of years. We've had multiple shutdowns of the federal government and, you know, these sort of cliffhanging situations over and over again. And I think a lot of our citizens, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, are getting pretty fed up with this. And, you know, it's not just the Republican Party, although they're, you know, in the spotlight right now. There have been similar problems on the Democratic side. If you think about last year, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia infuriated a lot of Democrats by holding up President Biden's budget proposals over in the Senate. So, you know, I do think there are fallouts, and I think we'll see it next year. But the question is, what is the alternative? And because the country's so divided, a lot of citizens who would like to vote for, you know, a more stable arrangement, it's really not clear what the best alternative will be. But, you know, there could very well be consequences at the ballot box.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science, University of Akron, Bliss Institute. John, so many people were hopeful a couple of years ago that there might be more bipartisan voting, more, quote, togetherness on Capitol Hill. It doesn't seem like we have seen more. I'm not saying we haven't seen any, because we have. But hit that subject for me on what you've seen on Capitol Hill. You mentioned still a lot of division there, and that kind of tends me to think that we're not seeing a ton of bipartisan voting.
You know, you're right. There have been some really good examples of bipartisan efforts, you know, under the Obama administration, you know, under the Biden administration, you know, and if you go back to George W. Bush, there were some examples of that too. But they're not as common as a lot of people would like to see. There's not only lots of division, some of it quite sincere, some of it, you know, just political, but there's also a high level of distrust. It's very hard for Republicans and Democrats to, quote unquote, reach across the aisle and solve problems by arriving at compromise. And, you know, that's just now a persistent problem. Some political scientists might tell you that that's the nature of the times that we live in. But I think what a lot of people would like to see is some kind of resolution, you know, not perfection, but some kind of resolution where bipartisanship would become commonplace rather than the exception.
Dr. John Green with us, professor of political science, University of Akron. Two other political stories, John, they seem to be gaining legs, at least in some areas, and that's this Hunter Biden situation in regards to his father, of course, President Biden. Update us on what you know that's going on here.
Well, you know, one of the things the Republicans in the House have been able to do is to, you know, investigate President Biden and, you know, his son Hunter's various business activities. And I think see sort of two strands there. One is, you know, the question of, you know, was President Biden, particularly when he was Vice President Biden, inappropriately involved in his son and his brother's business of lobbying the federal government, particularly with regard to foreign governments. But then there's another issue, you know, was Hunter Biden, who, you know, has run afoul of the law, was he treated in a special way because of, you know, who his father was? And those are really two different strands. They sometimes connect and they sometimes don't. So it'll just be very interesting to see how that plays forward. I think the investigations have raised some important questions, but I'm not sure they've answered those questions yet. And we'll just have to see how the investigation plays out. It may have a big impact in next year's election. It may not. It really depends on what the evidence turns out to be.
And then the former president, Donald Trump, had a stop in Manhattan yesterday, and he used this to his full advantage. Talk about this fraud trial in Manhattan, and the president was not short of words yesterday. I should say the former president.
Yeah, the former president has lots of legal troubles, you know, indictments at the state level as well as at the federal level, and then a civil trial in New York about the Trump Organization, about his business activities. And, of course, he's never shy, and he has lots and lots of comments, many of them quite caustic. And, you know, those comments play very well to his base of supporters, but don't play very well with the general public. So, you know, I suspect that what we're going to see with Donald Trump is more of the same, and maybe even through the primaries. Right now, it looks like he's still the favorite to be the Republican nominee.
All right, John, great information as always. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for me this morning, my friend. It's always appreciated.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.